Hey, hey, this is the Bachelor Masters. We're back for our second episode of the new season.
Happy birthday, Craig. It's Craig's birthday.
Wait, it's Craig's birthday?
Craig's birthday is today. Yep. Wow. I hesitated texting him at 9 a.m. just for that I'd forgotten about until right now.
Wow. Thanks for remembering. That means a lot.
Happy birthday, Craig.
Thanks, Caitlin.
What decade of life are you in now?
Definitely confirmed 40. Fourth decade.
I'm 41. Decade. 41.
Oh, all right. Well, you've been in that one for over a year, so I feel like you've adjusted.
It's not all it's cracked up to be, let me tell you.
I don't know that it's cracked up to be anything, honestly.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the void of birthdays.
But
it's like,
men aren't I'm 41. To care, right? Men are supposed to like be like, it's an extension of my 30s. It's great.
I care deeply.
I know you do. I actually know you do.
I've already been through the prime of my life, so like now I dwell on it.
Yeah, you're just waiting for death. That's why I have these high school clips all ready to go.
Wait, what?
No, because I am constantly, reminding you that the best is over with your popular song.
Oh, okay. You said clips, though. Do you have more?
No, I've never really cut out all your, like, Lothario stories. I don't know if I wouldn't want to. Ew, no. But happy birthday anyway, and contemplate. What were you doing right now 20 years ago?
Go. Well, I wasn't podcasting, but 20 years ago, the iPod might have been available. Like the first version, remember, with the circle on the front?
Yes.
Yes, I do remember.
So I don't know if that was 20 years. It feels like 20 years ago.
So 20 years ago was 2001.
Yeah. So that launched podcasting. That's why it's called podcasting. It's because of the iPod.
Yeah, I'm going to look up when the iPod first came out, because I feel like 2001 sounds kind of right.
So for all the youngins that don't know, there was this device. It looked a lot like an iPhone, but it had a circle on the front that used your thumb to navigate the music. But also, it had a mechanical hard drive in it, with like a disc that spins.
Well, yeah, so, and with a fan.
Yeah, you could hear it.
And so when you tried to turn it, it would like turn it in your hand. It was difficult because it was a gyroscope. It's because it would, want to correct its, it would want to correct its heading.
All right, well, the iPod's birthday is October 23rd, 2001.
Hey!
Well, that's not what I just wanted you to dwell on your lost youth, but now.
Well, what was I doing in 2001 in June?
Yeah.
Probably celebrating my birthday at a place in Iowa City that would serve you 21 pitchers for $21 on your birthday.
Whoa.
Gross.
Yeah, so you'd invite everyone you knew, even people you didn't know. You'd say, bring all your friends, because 21 pitchers is a lot more than it seems.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like a lot.
At the time, you're like, that's like five people. But you need some people to show up to get the back end done.
Yeah, you definitely would.
I guess it depends what a pitcher is, but there was a Mark's actually taking me to these wrestling shows where, you get a pitcher and... Yeah. You end up just wanting to drink it by yourself because you share it in four cups to a pitcher. And you're like, that means, if only me and four people go, I'm buying one pitcher. It means I'm buying myself one drink. I'll just drink this whole pitcher.
Yeah. You drink the whole pitcher and your hand fits comfortably through the handle.
Yeah.
So you just walk around with the pitcher.
Right. And at the beginning of these wrestling shows, I don't mean at the beginning of the night. I mean, in the early months of the wrestling show, they would do the whole act of giving you four cups. Then by the third month, they understood that no one wanted to share. So they just would give you the pitcher and know that you're going to just drink right out of it. And that was your cup. Yeah. So I understand and don't.
not be able to do that because I'm an extremely slow drinker of like any type of beverage, but alcohol in particular, it would take me hours to drink a pitcher by myself.
Wow. No,
it's hot in those halls. It's just like,
so that, yeah, I can tell you that's exactly what I did 20 years ago.
Okay.
And it's called the Fieldhouse Bar. Anyone from the Midwest that lives near a college town might know that name, the Fieldhouse. There's Fieldhouse Bars at a few of the Big Ten campuses, not just Iowa City.
It's a chain.
So I think it started in Iowa City because the gym is called the Fieldhouse. Mm-hmm. And then they branched out to other Big Ten campuses. When I was at Michigan State not that long ago, there was a Fieldhouse there. So I took a picture and posted on Facebook. I'm like, oh my God, look. Mm. I'm always reliving my youth easier, like you said.
Yeah, I know. I specifically picked the 20-year mark for you to feel sad about it. Okay, I think I need to make a very clear distinction that I didn't quite make last week because these are
that you don't like Greg after all?
Brewing in my head. No. Greg, you know, we'll get to him because this happens to women. It doesn't happen as much to men, but you will lose your like for a man because of the things they do, right? And that's normal.
Yes. On Love Island, they call it when you get the ick.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, you know, like once you have it, you can't get rid of the ick. Once you felt it, you're like,
Yeah, we've talked about this where I call it the switch, where like a woman can wake up one day and just switch it off and that's it.
Right, but it's not exactly like that as we've talked about, Craig. And it's also, you know, for men, for some reason, men can definitely get it back, though. They can get the like back slowly, as Matt James is a great example, right? He's maybe dating, Rachel again? Yeah. So anyways, my distinction here is I'd like to have a clear distinction between, because I was asked about it. These are not things that are official because I think people were Googling it. And I'm like, no, it's not real. I just said it. The Prince Harry effect is that we, in hindsight, rewrite a person's history or place that person in much higher esteem than he was previously because we want to like this person or because we have this affinity for like deities and monarchs and dumb crap like that. I think that's way different than what we were actually referring to, which I'm going to also label the what we were talking about was Dale and Claire and everything. And I'm going to label that more the Pete Davidson phenomenon, which is what me and Caitlin referred to a lot, where there's one hot girl liked him. And then every other hot girl's like, there must be something about that guy.
Yeah.
But no, there's not. That's a Zach Tayshia thing, right? There is nothing about Zach. But because Tayshia likes him, what's up with Zach? You know? It's not real. Yeah.
So the Pete Davidson effect, I get that entirely. One woman likes you, so the other women are like, well, there must be something about him. Well, they like you too.
You reference it all the time, actually, Craig. You say like, when there's a man and he's not that good looking, but he's a very good looking woman next to him, you wonder, wow, that man must be very good at something. Bumps up his number, right? A few.
I don't think I've said that numbering specifically, but that sounds like something I would say. Now, let's go back to the Prince Harry effect. Restate what the Prince Harry effect is in two sentences.
Okay. We, in hindsight, rewrite a person's history to put him in higher esteem because there are certain people in society that we just really want to be good and love.
Gotcha.
The monarchy.
Gotcha. So we forget about some of the stuff that he did in the past because we want him to be a good guy now, a good father and husband.
Well, it's also kind of has more to – in Prince Harry's case, it actually has more to do with all the bad things we did and how he's Diana's son. We just always want him to, like, fail up.
Yeah.
Like, there's no – it nothing to do with his actual – like, people like Meghan, so they want him to be with – like, you know, my thing is that he's not attractive. He wore a Nazi suit. I'm sure his personality is like a bag of rice, But the thing is that we want to like him because he's monarchy and because he's Princess Diana's son. So we kind of like keep pushing like, oh, no, he must be great because he married a biracial woman. Like there's all these kinds of, you know, like, oh, no, he's got to be good. He's got to be great. We love him. And we never did before.
So you mentioned that people were asking you about the Prince Harry effect. Because that was the title of
something. Yeah, as if it was something.
Who was asking you? Was it the Matt's Movie Lodgecast people?
No, it was different DMs. But as
you know, there was a time when you would screen grab DMs and send it to me and Caitlin in order to keep our morale up.
Okay.
I didn't know Craig's morale is flagging. He needs reinforcement.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, well, you know, when it's a question that I'm like, I should clear up, I didn't think it was worth, I didn't think it was worth talking about, except that I do think it's worth clearing up.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't need to see the screenshots for the record, UZR. It's fine with me that you're having these conversations without us.
Figure.
Okay, so we all clear? Caitlin, her redefinitions are clear?
Yeah, I think that makes sense to me, because, yeah, the Pete Davidson thing very much makes sense to me in terms of, I would say Tayshia and Zach in particular is a great example, because now, yeah, I definitely am like, you know what, Zach is cuter than I first thought, and it's like nothing changed about him. It's just now he's with an incredibly attractive woman, you know?
Right. It's funny how that works. Who was the Prince Harry effect in reference to from last episode?
Well, that was my point, is that I actually didn't use my own theory correctly. Because I was talking about how we rewrote Dale's story. The rewriting of Dale's story is the correct part because we rewrote it. But the fact that he was any more, I think I kind of meshed those two in my head because they're my own thoughts that I've never verbalized or mentally verbalized. So I needed to like, blah, and then we were ending the episode and then I said, blah, you know, and I feel like there's a difference there.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of bachelor people who are back together, Claire and Dale are apparently back together. It's kind of not completely clear because they're being a bit coy about it when asked, but they keep on posting stuff where it's like, well, they're going on dates and like kissing and things. So you would assume.
Yeah.
And as we remember, Dale was a dorky
Party City model.
He's a dorky Party City model replaces the word dorky 100%. But he was also a, you know, just kind of like totally clueless too. And I feel like going back and saying that like, oh, you know, all eyes were on him. And it was only because we knew what the story was going to be. And it had nothing to do with, if we had come into it blind, there's no way we would focus on Dale, except that Claire was focusing on Dale, right? That's kind of my, kind of mishmash of all the theories there. So unrelated, thought I'd clear it up. Okay.
All right.
So I have a thought to share that is unrelated to anything else that happened this episode, but I thought it, so I needed to tell you guys. Is that you remember James, box guy James?
Yes.
He looks like Chris Harrison to me. Does anyone else see it?
I couldn't tell any of, like, 20 of them apart. If
I don't know what box guy looks like.
Yeah. I kind of do.
Oh, yeah. The guy with the slick back hair.
Yeah. Blonde-ish. I think his nose is very similar to Chris Harrison's to me.
I'm not seeing
it. And, like, the moment I saw it now, it's what I think about when I see James on screen. Like, I'm like, oh, like a young, polished-up Chris Harrison. Okay.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
Hit us up with a clip to get us started here, easier.
Oh, you want to? Well, my clip has to do with the end of chronologically the end of the episode.
Oh, okay.
But if I could say something about the hosts, I mean, we talked last week about how for me they're not really working out, and they kind of showed that they weren't working out because there was times where they were needed and they weren't there, or they weren't called upon, or they didn't present themselves, especially at the end of the episode where there was a lot of fighting. Kind of side thought that I didn't say last week was that for these hosts, this could be their future dating pool. because the odds are kind of against Zach and Tayshia working out, right? You gotta.
Caitlin just got engaged, right?
Yeah, but that's to that's exactly my point. That was within the Bachelor dating pool. These could be their.
Oh yeah, it's what's his name?
Jason from Becca's season.
Yes. Yeah, and the one who I haven't seen Becca's season still, and it's on my list to watch at some point. But that's
you're in for a thrill ride.
No.
Well, that guy, Jason Tardik, mm-hmm. I remember seeing him being like, he reminds me of somebody, and he reminds me of somebody because I went to college with his brother who looks like exactly like him.
Right, you told us that.
Yeah, and I remember being like, yeah, that guy looks so familiar. And I was like, oh, it's because their faces are extremely similar. And then when I heard his last name, I was like, oh yeah, it's 100% his brother.
Yeah, but like, you know, when you go in and you do all these cutesy things, it just seems a little bit like that would be in the back of my mind if I was Tayshia or Caitlin,
right?
The other co-host Caitlin.
Yeah,
not anyway.
Yeah.
Harrison,
we're in trouble now.
Yeah, I know. Caitlin Bristow. Harrison was checking out mentally anyways. Chris Harrison was checking out mentally, so it's working out in that way, at least. Speaking of Chris Harrison, okay, so I have a lot to say about this.
We're not going to have the Caitlin Bristow plastic surgery minute.
No, because honestly, I thought her face looked really good this week.
Yeah, it looked a little bit like she heard you, and then they fixed
you.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was like, I don't know what changed, but yeah, when she had her, like, when they were having the conversation with the three of them towards the beginning of the episode and Caitlin's hair was pulled back, I was looking at her face specifically because you talked about it so much last week, Craig.
Okay.
And I was like, actually, she looks really good. It doesn't look like too puffy or anything.
I disagree, Craig, but let's move on.
She was wearing, like a denim onesie. You gotta love that thing. That thing was cool.
Oh, we should do fashion this episode.
I don't know. If we have enough time, we gotta do our first fashion roundup of the new season. I wasn't into the cowboy outfits.
Except for that onesie that was denim.
I liked a lot of those outfits.
No. But it did ring what Caitlin said to me, or what Caitlin said to us last week. She said, you know, the two co-hosts were wearing black dresses and Katie's wearing a red dress. And that's so there's no competition between, you know, who the guys are supposed to focus on. It was the same thing with those cowboy outfits. The two hosts were wearing basically onesies, pant legs. And then Katie was wearing this like fashion forward, like sexy cowboy dress. So you know, the guys know exactly who they're supposed to focus on.
Kind of. Yeah, except it's all the same color. Yeah, it's just a little bit like too, like they've already given up on that part. You know. Oh my goodness. I'm just annoyed with it not working out. Okay.
Wait, the host not working out?
Yeah. Like I said.
It really should have just been Tayshia. Then it would have been a lot better with one person.
What about Tayshia and Zach? Like together. I don't like Zach, but that would have been like a couple hosting. Right. Seems like it would be a lot, make a lot more sense. Any couple. Damn it. I pick anybody. I don't care.
Right.
That's
a good point.
Could have been good, honestly, because they could have done the whole, you know, like they got together on this show so they could talk to the lead, but also the contestants about like, hey, this was successful for us. And
there could be some bro time.
Right. And if they wanted to, they could divide up like the cishet men and the cishet women. And then there wouldn't be any weirdness with like, tell me about your feelings. I'm like vetting you for possible future dating, which is my thought always.
Right. Okay. All right. Okay. Easier. Get us started here.
Yes. So don't women and daughters watch the show together?
Yes.
Isn't that a huge part of The Bachelor?
I believe so.
I know there's always been sex talk, but it's always been heavily innuendoized, heavily placed in innuendo. But here's the part about this week that was a little bit strange. So, not strange, actually. It was right in with Bachelor theology, but it was frustrating because Katie of all people went along with it. So this segment made no sense, except they tried to set it up like an underdog movie, right? There was a podcast host, and then you were supposed to go up and give some kind of impromptu speech about sex positivity. But my problem is that, my setup to my problem is that part of sex positivity is accepting that people haven't had sex. So assuming everyone has had sex is obviously a setup, because Katie would not advocate for just making someone uncomfortable, right? And here's where it bothers me, because I think that Katie is smarter than falling into that Christian persecution complex. And I feel like it's The Bachelor rallying the base to get the conversation off of Chris Harrison, since it's not going to happen anymore, and kind of into this, look, no matter what you feel, let me get you back on board by making you mad about another thing. A Christian man is being harassed or like outed. And it was so outdated, and why create these are the battlegrounds on culture that people talk about. There is no need for there to be two sides to that. But there is, because it's entertaining and because people at home can say, can you believe they're doing that to my Christian brothers? Bah, right. They're, you know, so right. Christian persecution complex, totally out in the open. Why is Katie okay with this? I don't understand her going along with it. I mean, except for dollars and cents.
Well, she liked his poem.
Right. No, I'm saying, So I guess the conclusion to that is that it was set up like an underdog. He was the underdog, and then he won the night.
Yeah.
He didn't really win. Mm-hmm. My problem was that it's not something that she should – if in real life, perhaps, she would have stopped and been like, maybe not everyone's had sex. This is strange. Right. Why would we keep doing this? But it's you don't buy into it in real life. Or you shouldn't.
I thought it was going to be much more dramatic, the reveal that Mike is a virgin, right? Because we, the audience, already knew that from last week. It was part of his, like, intro stuff. But I thought it was going to be much crazier than sort of just being he's nervous to talk about it. But then he does, and it went great, you know?
Yeah.
Out of 100, 0 to 100, what's your confidence level that Katie actually understood what he was saying?
Oh, I totally thought she understood, but does she actually like him?
Yeah.
Right. Does
she
I think there was a little bit of – I had a little bit of gray area that maybe it wasn't communicated just so. Or maybe he was – maybe she thought he was a born-again virgin. Like now
like
he's going to say –
like
so.
Luke P. was where he was a born-again virgin.
No,
I guess that's possible.
I wish I would have cut it out at this point, but there was something that he said that was, other than the fact that he said, my future wife is going to, like, I feel sorry for her, which, but there was something
said,
else.
Waiting for marriage, like that phrase was used. But Craig is right that sometimes that could be like the kind of Luke P situation where you have had sex before, but then you became a born again Christian and we're like, well, now I'm not having it again. Yeah. Until
but both of you think confidently that she understood. So I'm on board with that too.
I think she understood that he was a virgin, although I guess there's a slight possibility that she thought he has done it, but he will no longer do it until he's married.
The thing that rubs me the wrong way when it comes to these like virgin announcements, I don't know what you call it, pronouncement of virginity. Mm-hmm. It's the underlying subtext that they're such a great catch. You know, like he's sitting there like, I'm this great catch that's going to make your world wonderful. And on top of that, I'm a virgin. And then when he was sat down with her at the cocktail party and was talking to her as well, it's just like, you think you're the hottest shit and you're not.
Huh. I did not get that vibe at all.
Really?
The thing I was worried about with him, because it came up, well, it definitely came up with Luke P. and Hannah in her season.
Sure.
The whole, like, if you are religious and that's why you're not having sex before marriage, that there is often this connotation, and sometimes they outright say it, like Luke did, which is like, well, you're a bad person if you are doing that, right? Like, and I think, I guess we'll see if this comes up later, but he didn't have that vibe to me at all. Like, he wasn't like, you know, I don't want to, I wish Katie would just be like less of a slut now. You know what I mean? Like, he didn't have that vibe at all.
Oh, well, I think we're talking about two different things. There's the shaming that virgin pronouncements can do, which is what Luke P did. I'm saying that there's just this underlying tone that he is such a great catch to any woman that he finally marries and has sex with. Like, no, you're just a normal dude with the same problems as any normal dude.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think all of these guys have that vibe, though. Like, every single man who comes on The Bachelorette has the vibe of being like, I'm the greatest catch.
Well, at least they've had sex. So we know they're that piece of the
puzzle. Yeah, but that doesn't mean they're any good at it. So their confidence might be totally misplaced in that regard.
All right. Well, easier. Do you know what I'm talking about? I'm not articulating very well.
No, I understand. I think that it's, you know, at home, we're supposed to think that any man who hasn't had sex by the time they're 20-something is that they're extremely restrained and obviously moral because they've chosen to do that. I think the women have been played as kind of like, well, that's what you should be doing, whereas the men have been portrayed as like this, wow. You've really, really, if this guy's 31, too, we're really supposed to be impressed. Yeah,
not
I get
impressed.
That.
Sorry.
Right. But you, Craig, you got to say that that is impressive.
I said this, I remember the exact moment I said it. It was on the podcast, and it was when, before COVID, I would record downstairs in this like room we have here in the building. And I think it was Caitlin, your first season with us. And I went on this long rant about how when you die, your life is going to flash before your eyes. And in my estimation, it's not going to be the things that you didn't do that you look back on and feel good about. It's going to be the things that you did do that you look back on and feel good about. I mean, this guy is going to look, when he's dying, he's going to look at his life. And he's going to be like, damn, I went 35, 40 years, who knows like how long, without having sex? Think of all the people I could have had sex with.
That's exactly my point. He feels the restraint. That's restraint, right. is a virtue.
The point I was trying to make back then is that restraint is stupid.
Well,
because
so everyone becomes a heathen when they're like, well, so like that does, I don't think that's true. I don't know why you think that's true.
It should like, be true, because you, when you die, you're going to look back and you'll be like, damn, I'm glad I slept with all those women.
Yeah, that would not be my thinking. That's not what I think is going to happen. Have I come close to death? Probably more times than you have. I don't think that. I don't think so, Craig.
You've come close to death more times than I have?
I bet I have.
Name one time you came close to death. Unless it's triggering, and then we don't have to talk about it.
Well, they're...
Trigger
no.
warning.
This one is the weirdest one. Lakers won. Lakers win. Right.
That's the beginning of the
weird. Was this when you were living on East Adams?
No, I was living more south.
Because when the Lakers won it in whatever it was, like
it was the Boston versus Boston, right? Versus
I took a walk down Adams and it was not safe.
Yes, it was not safe. Okay. Lakers win. I'm not into basketball. Whatever. I'm like, heck yes, party in the streets. So I walk out. I'm like, you know what? There's too much going on. I'm getting on my bike. Got on my bike. Was riding my bike up a heavily transited area. And, you know, there's people on corners kind of gathering on where, especially where the liquor stores are. And I'm on my bike and I'm kind of slowly going, or I don't even remember anymore because everything is kind of jarred. And I pass a car, and then right after that, I hear, you know, this car is out of control, crashes into the car I just passed. I turn around to look, and, like, I would have been crushed. Like, I was one bike wheel away from being completely crushed. And that car just, I mean, the front seat of that, the car it crashed into is crushed. The guy just drives out and speeds away, and everyone's trying to get the license plate number and stuff. And I'm just like, what? You know, I'm just on the street to party. So I just come back on the sidewalk and everyone's like, what? You're so lucky. Like, you almost died. I'm like, yeah, that's weird.
Okay, anyways, that's pretty close.
I felt
to
like
death.
Tom Cruise. Like, that was like, whoa. Tom Cruise was
You
feeling.
Felt like Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I've had a few times where I could have died. But the only time I remember, like, distinctly thinking, well, I guess this is it, was, like, actually on an airplane and the oxygen masks came down.
Whoa.
Yeah, cool.
But it turns out it was, like, a malfunction thing. So we weren't actually that close to dying, but everyone assumed we were, you know?
Right.
And I, like, and distinctly have... remember.
Yeah, did you think did, back w- on your w- life?
Were you, like, all the men I did not have sex with?
Yeah, you're like, I really should have gone home with that one guy, but my moral compass told me not to.
That is not what I thought about at all. Like, I remember in my head, like, it was just like, oh, I guess we're all going to die in a plane crash. And I was like, well, I guess this is it. You know, this is how it happens. Didn't think about my life stories at all. I have thought at other times, like, I remember talking to friends of mine and being like, you know, I could have slept with a lot more people in college. And I just, like, didn't know at the time. I was really bad at reading people, you know? So I was like, oh, I guess I could have done that. And I just wasn't aware. But it's not something I think I'm going to be, like, 100 years old in my deathbed being like, say goodbye to your family or whatever. And I would be thinking, like, I wish I'd boned so much more. You well, know, like, don't think that's good. It's going to be in my head.
But, of course, you know, I don't just mean boning. I mean anything that you put a moral restriction on, you know, could be eating meat on Fridays for all I know, you know. It's like,
no,
it doesn't
Craig.
Even have to be religious. It can be, oh, I choose not to, I don't know, I mean, I choose not to drive, and that takes a lot out of me and it causes me a lot of you know, friction in my life. I might die and decide, oh man, I really wasted half my life riding public transportation. I'm aware of that. I admit that.
Right, but this is not, I think your premise is flawed. I choose not to grade your paper. No, I think it's wrong. I don't think that's true. The point is, that is the thinking. It's, he's restraint. I have to give credit for restraint. I think restraint, and I think I personally, me, I think someone that is, that can be silent when he should be talking is a very morally virtuous trait.
All right, I'm just going to be silent the rest of the podcast then.
No, that was just an example. This is a podcast. But
yeah, it kind of requires us to talk.
Yeah, but
I think the wrong thing to do.
I do place, I think morality is a like, you know, I don't want to say it's attractive, but it's definitely an if someone is more, obviously being a virgin is not something that's on my list of any kind, but restraint is very important. Yeah, I think that's true.
All right. Well, we could go into the whole thing on nihilism and how there's no guiding light for humanity and all that kind of stuff like that, but I'll restrain myself from going into that conversation.
Thank you.
How about that?
Okay. Yes.
Where were we though? Back to your premise, which is the ABC was setting us up here with a you should be upset about this so you'll forget about Chris Harrison
Christian bit. Persecution complex. Yes.
Yes, exactly. I like that. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. Well,
and he ended up winning, which, you know.
Right. Which is kind of the every God's Not Dead movie, right? The student wins over the atheist professor. So yeah, I mean, let's just, it's so funny how The Bachelor does act like an actual person. I guess this is part of the corporations are people argument. But
one of them, at least,
right? When cornered into something that they don't want to talk about, they flip the script to something that is unrelated, but they can somehow, you know, get people back, because all the Instagram comments I've been seeing, and I mean, I guess I'm only on Instagram when it comes to The Bachelor, have all been, I'm never watching again now until Chris Harrison is back. Mm-hmm. You know, no cancel culture. I mean, okay, cancel culture. This guy got $50 million. If you really think he's what is canceling if you're going to pay this man so much money? But the issue here is that I feel like this is a way to try to win back. You know, it's like a small battle to try to win people back into it. And it's a little bit, my problem with it is that Katie is participating.
Right. And you love Katie.
Well, you know, once you become lead, you become a lot more complicated. There's a lot to not like so far. Not of her, but of her season.
Yeah.
So let's mention some of the things that the men did on this date, because there were some interesting moments on the, you know, basically describe how you would be the greatest lover of all time is the prompt that they're given. Connor B sang a song, which you knew he would, obviously.
Connor the Jed. Ugh.
Yeah.
I have to say something in his defense here, right? I thought about this. I originally was like, of course he sang a song. But reflecting on it, you know what? He's better than Jed in that at least he actually created a song that made sense on the moment.
As opposed to Jed,
right? Who always just did that same song, the like Mr. Right guy or whatever.
He always sang the same
refrain from the same song. At least Connor is good enough to like come up with new lyrics.
Well, but they were really bad and his song was super choppy. Like, it made me think, I didn't even know he was the musician, the Jed, until they told us. I was like, oh, geez, at least come up with something you've already written.
He also lives in Nashville, Jed.
He's a math teacher.
I would say he's more creative than Jed is already.
Well, he's also doing the trying to act coy and cutesy, but he doesn't pull it off. I know we want to talk about the date itself, but I just really am not liking him. I'm getting the wrong reasons vibe, and I'm also getting the why try to win her over? Why not just make a deal? You know, I don't like trying. Maybe she's in on it too. It bothers me either way. Anyways, go ahead. Talk more about the date.
Yeah, I also feel a little bit. I mean, I guess we'll see how he pans out over the next several episodes, but I got a vibe of wrong reasons from him also.
Well, did you notice that when he was done singing, they showed him carrying his guitar and the keyboard back up to his seat? It was very strange. Instead of just putting it behind the scenes.
There's been really bad editing the whole episode. There was
What it said to me was that he brought those from home.
Oh,
like he packed a keyboard with a keyboard stand and a guitar to bring with him onto The Bachelorette.
Who knows? I can see that being true, but there's also a scene where Katie furiously made out with someone, and then they showed them saying goodbye a second later. Like, okay, well, I'll see you later. Like, you know, if you really are that passionate about making out with someone, would you just be like, okay, bye?
Like, is that the one where he like lifts her into his lap?
I don't remember.
Yes.
Very sexy.
Thomas is the name of that guy, I'm pretty sure.
Shiny Thomas, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because I remember this distinctly because, you know, I look at their clothes pretty closely, and when they were making out and he kind of, like, lifted her into his lap a little bit, something was peeking out from under Katie's short dress, and it's either, like, a short nude-colored slip or, like, little nude shorts, like a Spanx kind of short.
It was Spanx because she tweeted jokingly, how come Spanx hasn't hit me up yet?
Yes. And I was intrigued just because I don't remember seeing that on anybody else so far, like women on this franchise having their Spanx.
Is wearing Spanx a common thing?
I mean, I guess it depends on your body shape. And
it just tightens up your butt, right?
No, like usually like midsection and thighs. Yeah, so it makes it look like smoother with the way the dress would lie. So it would depend on whether or not like that's a thing you were really looking to do. And a lot of the women are super, super thin and probably aren't self-conscious about that.
Right. Well, yeah. Anyways, sorry. Go talk more.
About no, go ahead.
Yeah.
You've been itching to say a few things.
No, I just think that the whole making out thing and everything is so awkward. She's like we said last. I said last week. She's too open minded, and it's hard to notice. It's hard to notice insincerity when you're too open-minded, and maybe that's a problem, but maybe we're arguing on a plane that's like within the television when really it's all a setup for her distracting that she has a number one pick and everyone else is like a distant second.
Well, to your point, she this whole second half of the episode is her freaking out because she maybe felt like she was taken advantage of.
Yeah.
She overcompensates by bitching out the guys like three times.
Yeah, so here's so I have a clip of some signs of her finally unraveling. I like how she starts off saying this.
I do appreciate the honesty I have been given so far, and if there's anything else I need to know, please know that I am a safe space and deserve to know what's going on in the house.
Yeah. Okay, hold on right there. Safe space. I remember thinking that during the episode. I was like, how is she a safe space?
Yeah, the phrasing is unusual, and I noticed that just because of like being like, I am a safe space versus this is a safe space, or like, you can trust me, or some other phrasing. Yeah. It's just, I haven't heard anyone use that specific kind of phrasing before.
Well, not only that, but how is she a safe space? Because you're going to tell her something that's going to, she's going to turn around and belligerently accuse the other men of.
So, right. So the second part, by the end of the date, there's some signs that she's unraveling.
A bomb was dropped on me. About multiple people still here for the wrong reason.
Oh, language.
And I don't know how clear I can be about my intentions and my time.
So, whoa. Right. Is she, like, she's
you dropped a bomb on
it's
me.
It's so hard to.
You dropped a bomb on me.
You can't differentiate, you know, your like what's happening. And she was basically asking for someone to tell her something. And this guy saw an opportunity. Kyle is his name, the motivational speaker. Is that right?
Carl. A different guy.
Carl's who started this whole thing.
I don't think she was even really in that bad of shape before she talked to Carl. Because there was this thing with kicking Cody out.
Well,
he's doing just fine.
But
rose-petaled glasses. And then Carl comes along and everything flips around so suddenly.
Carl is a professional vulnerability seer.
Yes.
Right?
He is absolutely. Like, he's a professional manipulator because he's a motivational speaker. That's his job.
That's a hot take.
Look, you can use your powers for evil or for good. I've never known a motivational speaker that has used them for good. Have you ever heard of one?
I don't know any motivational speakers.
Well, I mean, you know, any of the famous ones. Pick one. They're all.
Well, there's the one from that season of Dexter where he goes after that.
That's a character, Craig. But listen, like, you know. Other than the fact that, yes, somebody saw something that they could possibly exploit and use it again. And then they talked about him all up. So the whole episode was a lead up to this because they kept talking about what a smooth talker he is, how great he is at, like, you know, he's getting on people's nerves, but he's obviously can like talk his way out of a paper bag style. But I wonder if the whole safe space talk, because it stood out to everyone, to all three of us, is that, you know, she's trying to remain a cool, chill 2021 person, but she's unraveling. She's bowing to the bachelor overlords to appear impartial, but she can't take much more of this, like, tear, because she doesn't. You can't hold on to like multiple truths at the same time, right?
I think I prefer your first take though, which is that she has too open of a mind, and that set her up for being taken advantage of by Carl, and now she's unraveling.
Sure, but it's also because I think these play off of each other, because my other thinking is that she's trying to play two fields at the same time. She's doing that, but at the same time, she's trying to make sure she's giving producers what they want. And giving producers what they want is going to be instability for you.
Right.
So mm-hmm. I think they work in tandem perfectly for what a season is, although she might be able to, like, you know, regain, like, her composure. But I, you know, you're going to start saying stuff like that because you're trying to work too many fields. You think you're going to be able to figure it out, but you can't.
It reminded me of Claire on her season when she started melting down about, remember when the nobody stole her for like 5 seconds and she was like, nobody even wants to be here. They're not attracted to me. It reminded me a little bit of that kind of thing where she got fed some information that, from what we can tell from the editing of the episode, was like completely made up by Carl. But she was like, oh, now I got to be suspicious of multiple people. And I have literally no idea who they are. And was like spiraling about that.
I don't know. I think Claire is a deranged psycho person who like anything could happen. And, you know, you look at her wrong and all of a sudden you are in deep shit. I think we talked about her a lot because I think she is something is truly wrong with her, whereas Katie's trying her best to like not lose it because, you know, the production will push you. So, and I have more to say about actually the production again. To, I don't know. I get what you're saying though in terms of like comparable, like losing it, like where are you losing it. So like Claire, I think is perfect.
So then she sits Andrew down, right? Is Andrew right?
Because
no.
Andrew,
you're thinking of, it's Aaron, who's the guy who had the thing with Cody.
And he literally says right to about, her,
right?
Like he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Or he's
well,
the thing is
like she's doing it like as if he's a good thrift store, right? Oh, I found good stuff at this thrift store before. I'm going to check back again. Like it didn't feel like there was no reason for her to pick him except that she decided that that guy wasn't that the guy
she does pick him. She confronts him. She's like, who are these guys that Carl's talking about? And Aaron says, I don't know. There are no guys.
Right. She's saying, you know, I've trusted you in the past. Can you help me out here?
Well, it should have ended there. She should have said, oh, well, if Aaron says no, then okay, maybe I need to cool my jets. But she doesn't. That's when she goes back out and then drops the F-bomb
again.
Part of
the problem is
because
Aaron is not super convincing. In the way that he's...
Well, he's kind of dumb, which is why I think he trusts
him. He is kind of dumb.
Right.
But he's like completely blindsided when she's like, who is faking having feelings for me? And he's like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
And it's like, no idea what she's talking about. So he doesn't have a good narrative. Like, he's not doing the thing. Right. She either wanted information that was like, give me the names, or an extremely convincing, like, the person who told you this information is absolutely a lie.
I mean, I say this all the time when I'm in fights with, like, an argument. I say this all the time. I say, don't ask questions that you don't want to hear the answer to.
This is a classic case. This is different, though. She did not. You're never going to believe a no. You're going to believe, the only thing for him to have done in that situation, if he had some kind of in his defense, you know, he was picked at random. Kind of. Not really. In his mind at random. You are going to, if someone doesn't give you a counter narrative that's great, like, look, Carl rubs everyone the wrong way in the house. He's trying to get ahead. You have to just forget everything he ever told you. You're beautiful. Everyone is in love with you. And then maybe she would have calmed down. But hearing just a vague no because he's confused is not going to, you know, you're not going to believe that.
Yeah, because it just...
You're going to believe a yes.
It's not a... Yeah, it almost feeds into exactly what Carl had started because Aaron sounds so confused and he's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't know who those people are. And now she's like, well, I guess I still got to be on the lookout for them. But I loved your thrift store line because it is very much, he gave her the information on Cody that led her to getting rid of Cody, right? So I think she saw Aaron as maybe akin to the role that she played on Matt's season, right? As, like, somebody who has no problem telling you the secret drama that's happening in the house that you don't see, except that Aaron has no idea about any secret drama that's going on.
Right, right. Even if he was in the middle of it, he would have no idea.
Yeah,
he just happened to have not liked
legitimately, he wouldn't.
Yeah, and Cody was not interested in her, and she, or she was not interested in him.
Well, did you hear the conspiracy theory about Cody? There's conspiracy theory going around Twitter that, because Cody was kind of kicked off based on very little, right?
Yeah, he was kicked off because she didn't like him. That's my point. Yeah,
yeah. Well, because he was kicked off. The rest of it. Aaron was like, "I know that guy from San Diego, and he gives me bad vibes." And she was like, "Well, all right."
Well, he's done. Well, the conspiracy theory is that he participated in the insurrection, and that was the producers getting rid of him quickly once they found out. Pretty interesting, huh?
I mean, let's see some photos. I don't know.
I mean, I think we would have. I think those photos would have come out already if we.
Yeah. Right. Right. Sure. Yeah, that's a little. I mean, that's a great accusation, though, right?
Yeah.
Like in terms of trying to get someone out, you blame a white guy like that looks like that. You're gonna people are gonna be like probably.
I mean, that would have been a way better story if Aaron had been like, listen, the thing I heard about him from San Diego is that he was at the Capitol on January 6th.
That was great.
Can I tell you guys?
Do you have the clip of her dropping the other F-bomb?
No, I don't. No.
Oh.
I don't care about that. I just think it's funny that's how she emphasized her point by like crying, cussing.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. What were you
going to
say?
Yeah. Okay. I know you guys love hearing about all my little quirks, and I don't think I have that many little quirks, but I have one that very much bugs me. Okay, this is rage-inducing for me. It's not necessarily not knowing how to make a tent. That's not the part that bothers me. It's when someone grabs a giant thing and can't fold it right or can't, like, handle it right. That... Like, I don't even know how many times I've almost, like, exploded at someone where we're trying to fold a blanket and they fold it wrong, you know?
Poor Mark. Like,
yeah. Well, no, he's actually really good at it. That's why we're together.
First date, you're like, fold up a large sheet. Let me see it.
Well, it's the sheet. Tarp. It's the fitted sheet. That's the hard one, right? How
yes,
do you fold a fitted sheet?
Well, okay. Folding is not necessarily the issue, but someone who doesn't know how to put a fitted sheet on a bed. Or like tries it and like half-asses it. Oh my God. Big things.
What kind of mama's boy doesn't know how to put a fitted sheet on?
I don't have boys. What are you talking about?
No, I'm saying what kind of mama's boy doesn't know how to put on a fitted sheet?
Yeah, it's Greg. That's who doesn't know how to put on
it's
a fitted
Greg.
Sheet.
It's Greg.
He's obviously someone who had his mommy lay out all his undies for him. Yeah. Like he's already starting to bug me in that way. Where she kind of did it for him and called it cute. And I was like, fuck no, that's not cute.
You're talking about the tent.
The tent, yeah. I rage at that kind of stuff because it's unwieldy and I don't feel like, because of my stature maybe, like I'm not the shortest person ever, but I always feel like I really need to control especially heavy, unwieldy things, or not deal with it at all. But when I see someone who should do it and not do it, or like not have that kind of power over it, it like something hurts me. I don't know.
So, but, Caitlin, when I was over at UGR's a couple weekends ago, they had this big blue, you know, those blue tarps, like what you see outside, blue tarps. They had it, she had a big blue tarp covering the backyard, so that must have been really difficult for you.
It's called the sunshade sail, and it was green, and I had a friend help me, who's competent. Like, obviously,
did you get super controlling? Like,
no, that's the thing, is either I don't touch it, and if I'm gonna help, you better do it right, the way I'm doing it right.
Okay.
I think with the tent thing, right, is Katie thought it was cute because she's so into Greg that anything he does is cute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I at this point, it feels like she's using Greg as like a stand-in for a dad because she's kind of going from this grief to this memorializing step, which is a great time to step in as a future boyfriend.
Well, she admits that during your dinner. She says
kind of, except that she's not admitting that that's what she's... I mean, yeah, she does kind of say it, but she's not admitting that that's how she's lining him up, and I feel like you're setting yourself up for a lot of failure. Well,
let's look at this objectively.
When he's not her dad.
Uh-huh. He's good looking. He knows his way around a fishing pole.
Not a tent.
He was chill. He was super chill during times when you're supposed to be super chill. Like if you're a high energy guy and you're high energy when you're sitting out on the open plains of New Mexico, that's not going to come go over well. So, you know, and if they had been, say, boyfriend and girlfriend for 6 months, it would have been a perfect fit.
Yeah, I like Greg, I said.
Yeah. So I'm not dogging him for...
Oh.
I'm kind of disagreeing with you. I don't think he didn't show any signs to me that he, you know, was not what that she was using him as a substitute. I think they were just having a normal date.
I think the way she's letting go of her dad's grief is by placing Greg in the place. Not really, maybe this is all for television, but there is some kind of the sense of like, I can let go more of my dad if you were in my life. And
did you also catch his dad is also deceased and he also went fishing with his dad?
It sounded like he made it up because he didn't makes say
that
it.
Up. Wouldn't that be funny?
Make that shit up because that would come out.
About it. Yeah, I know. But I, from the first clip, from the first, his little package at home, his like EPK or whatever. It's not an electronic press kit, but the, like, you know, we're at home and here's all my family. I thought he had a dad. And then all of a sudden he's like, I lost my dad too. And like, why didn't you say it when you were sitting on the toilet?
I thought that too. Why didn't you brought that up a little earlier?
It was a little weird that he waited so long after she'd been talking about like memories of her dead dad for a lot of that date, and then hours into it, he's like, also, my father's dead.
Well, maybe like, that's a good sign. Maybe it shows that he listens before he talks, which
he respects,
is
right?
one of the restraints that EZR thinks is
the sign of a great person. It is a restraint because it's saying you have your space to speak on it, but he didn't seem to care when she was talking. But look, these are all just eyeball things that I have no like evidence, real true evidence for, but there's something wrong with Greg, as I said in episode one of our podcast.
Even though
I think he is the perfect man, just kidding, there's something deeply wrong with him. I don't trust him. I do not
trust
him.
There's something there because my theory would be we can tell from the preview clips something upsetting happens, like it always does, where the lead, you know, wants to leave and quit. They have a Katie-type clip of that where she's like, get me a plane ticket.
Like, give me the plane ticket. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
So my thought is it's something with Greg is what I'm thinking right now. That like either he leaves or some sort of secret comes out that, you know, something.
Wait, your father didn't die?
Oh, God. If it's that one.
His dad texts her.
Oh my God. Yeah, they go to hometowns and his dad is alive and there, and she's like, what the fuck?
We probably shouldn't be laughing. I'm the one.
Can we go back to the fight that they were having, because I didn't get to the right reasons fight.
You mean Aaron and Cody?
Unless you guys have anything else to say about Greg. No, the final fight where it was messes with Carl and it messes
Carl.
You know, it's like involves all of them, kind of.
Before we get into the final fight, I wanted to mention that on that, the group date that Carl was on, which is the seating for, you know, where everyone was like, huh, Carl, probably not here for the right reasons. The thing he said And I'm still trying to figure out what on earth he meant about this when he gave his speech about, you know, how he's the greatest lover of all time. He said something about how the woman he's with would be having sex 17 hours a day. What?
Right.
Yeah. Huh?
The whole thing was really weird.
The whole thing
seemed incredibly weird, but the 17 hours a day, I was like, so you can't go to work or you can't sleep. It's at least one of those things. Because you just can't
watch The Bachelor.
And it's just like tantric sex that you're like, what? It makes zero sense.
It was just cringe, like middle school awkwardness. Like, that's what a middle schooler thinks sex is. You know, like the whole thing, everyone's speech, everyone's weird, like puppet show, and just everybody. Like, I did not find one thing that felt real or that felt necessary or like interesting. I was totally just in cringe world. And they were all laughing like they were in middle school, right? It was the three women just kind of like, with like pillows and stuff. And I didn't find it to be quality television at all. So I was.
No, I mean, there were lots of things in there that I wrote down some notes on this where I was just like, huh, some of the things the men said. But yeah, Carl stood out to me for being like a physical impossibility, essentially. And Justin, it seems like, has a foot fetish, because the thing they showed of his was he's giving a foot massage to Katie, and he refers to her feet as a work of art.
Yeah. Ew. Creepy.
Who's this? Say his name.
Justin. He's the artist from Baltimore. The guy who had the paintbrush in his introduction and said he's stroking it and stroking it, etc. Yes.
Tell me the intro package and I'll figure it out. Well, yeah, if we didn't have a podcast, I would not have like continued watching that, because it was so, it feels like I said, if it was all a setup for two things, it was a setup for Carl to be this kind of wordsmith, and it was a setup for this underdog poor Christian man who, you know, was society is trying to get at him. So the rest of it was just kind of, you know,
it
just
was there. I will say, with the setup for Carl being like, people think he seems like he's there for the wrong reasons, but because he's a motivational speaker, he's like good at speaking to people, right? Mm-hmm. He's not that good at speaking to people, because well, lots of things, right? The speech that he was giving on the greatest lover talk, like, people thought it was bad. So it wasn't convincing to any of the men. They were all like, what?
They were booing him.
They were booing him. They were like,
an on the fly.
Yeah. So nobody was buying what he was selling there. One, and two, the way he handles the stuff at the end of the episode, where he plants false information with Katie to like make her feel vulnerable. I'm assuming he was planning on using that to be like, I'm the only man who's here for the right reasons or something, you know? But he didn't really pull that off, because she didn't come away from that conversation being like, God, I trust Carl so much. He's the only one telling me the truth. She still was like, Carl's weird. I don't know if I fully believe what he's saying. And like, so all of that was like, he didn't really pull it off with Katie. And then when the men were talking about stuff, he owned up to being the person. And I'm like, listen, if you're going to pull some really shady shit, you got to be better at it than this.
No, he's also thinking on two planes. He's thinking like, what's it going to be when this comes out? I have to be the one who comes on, gets ahead of it. And I think he is not as good at what he claims to do for a living as he is. You know, I don't think he's that good at it, but I think he's good enough at it. And anyone else would wait until a few more weeks in to do something like that.
Yes.
But the right reasons fights always like every right reasons fight that have been on every season. Well, you know what? That's not true. Let's call this in the new guard bachelor world. That means like, I'm trying to think of where that divide is. I know me and Craig, co-host Craig, and someone else have, you know, and Chris, but even like just us two, Craig, have kind of like divided up old bachelor and new bachelor, and it is 100% dependent on social media and when that started to become marketable. So it always has me wondering like what plane they're fighting on again. You know, there's the one we're seeing that's, look, the guys are all telling one guy, or they're fighting over each other, and the lead's somewhere crying, as was happened here, and they're saying, "You're hurting the lead's feelings. How dare you question so and so's integrity or our integrity as a group?" Or is the plane that they're fighting on, and what I always assume they're fighting about, is, "Dude, you're ruining it for all of us when you talk about ulterior motives, because we all have an ulterior motive." So,
except for maybe Aaron.
Right. Then there's the weirdo, like, lovesick guy.
Yeah.
But that is, I want to say that's one out of every 20 guys. And there might be 30 guys on the show, you know, but that's rare. So I don't know this bunch of guys well enough, but I do think that there's always the second conversation, the second plane of the fight of, like, "You're making us all look bad on TV by questioning everyone's integrity," is much more, like, consequential or important in everyone's mind than the fight they say they're having.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, I think that makes sense because there are a handful, well, there are definitely some guys where I'm like, I think that you are legitimately into her based on, like, your interactions. It seems like you do like her. And maybe one or two where I'd be like, I would buy it if this guy wasn't here for fame and, like, SponCon. But most of them are thinking they're not going to be the winner. They're here for fame and paradise and, you know, SponCons. And maybe if they're really lucky, future Bachelor. Right. Which comes up in the previews for next week, yeah. Greg. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
He was like, yeah, that crossed my mind.
Yeah, it's Thomas. Thomas, yeah. The one who she was heavily making out with the
thing. Not
fangs.
A good look.
Yeah.
Should not have said that.
We will not know what brought up that conversation yet. But yeah, somebody's like, well, it has crossed your mind. Do you want to be the Bachelor? And who's like, yes, it has.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that guy's not going to go much further here.
Interesting. Well, I kind of love when they...
If you watched previews, DZR, you would know.
No, because I don't believe... Actually, you know, you guys are telling me that, but I bet you it's just a setup.
No, you're right, because they always lie in the
previews. Yeah, there's going to be a bunch of stuff. They already hinted outside of, like, that Thomas might be here for the wrong reasons, Bachelor wanting sort of stuff. They also played something that was, like, made it seem like Connor B lied about something important or something like that.
Yeah.
Where he's like, I've made a huge mistake. And I was like, is it going to be something like the huge mistake is he didn't tell her he loved her soon enough or whatever.
Right. You know? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Should we hit the fashion roundup?
Sure.
This week, Bachelor Masters is brought to you by Craig's Qualified Fashion Tips. Gender neutral, gently critical, and guaranteed to draw attention to the relative complexion of your exposed skin and the ability of garments to flatter or humiliate your particular body type.
Going somewhere? Well, you're going to have to wear clothes, dummy.
And that's why you need Craig's Qualified Fashion Tips, proud sponsor of Bachelor Masters. You don't need to look ridiculous anymore.
Bravo. Thanks, co-host Chris. you know, now's a good time to point out, to your point, Ezer and Caitlin, that you know, co-host Chris always said, if you're not on The Bachelor for Instagram fame, then there's something wrong with you.
So. Yeah, I mean, there's always that subtext that, like, that's why Katie was on too, and, you know, right, Reason's argument is you know, a wash if everyone's famous off of it, and this, but there's also kind of a moral, like, who's slightly more moral than someone else.
Right.
So I can argue on that, like, minuscule, like framework, minutia. Right? Yeah, like, you know, yes, I actually have a really good job. I would never leave. But yeah, I can make some extra money versus I have no bankable skills. I can only be an Instagram star, and so I will trick this person into liking me so I can stay on, or, you know, or I will make a deal with a producer so that this person keeps me on for a long time.
Yeah, I was born 20 years too early, I'm telling you.
Every time I talk about it,
Craig,
like,
no, I just want to be an influencer, but I'm too old now.
One thing I was thinking of, speaking of, you know, why people go on the show, is that they haven't mentioned at all, you know, most of the time when you start a new season, for somebody who's been on The Bachelor or Bachelorette before, and that's how they got the lead, is they'll talk about how, like, their heart was broken by the other person, right? But they're ready to find love now, and they believe it still can work in this system, blah, blah, blah. They don't even mention at all, like, anything about her and Matt, and I think it's because, well, there's probably a lot of reasons, but one of them is I think they don't really want to talk about Matt's season if they can at all help it in any way. They don't want to bring it up if it's not necessary to bring up because of how badly it went for a lot of people towards the end, and how Chris Harrison, like, this is how he got the boot as well, you know? So they're trying to not bring it up unless it needed to be brought up.
I don't think it's going to be brought up despite all that, because she did not, Matt and her had no chemistry.
No, they were, like, friendly. They would laugh at things together. So it wasn't a brokenhearted narrative. Now with Michelle, when her season happens, I assume they're going to have to talk about that, because that scene, like, she went so much further and had so many more conversations with him and, you know, thought she was going to be the one that was selected. And then,
If they don't bring it up with Michelle's season, then there's something, then it's,
yeah, like, then there's something really weird that they're trying to bury it deep. Craig, what fashion stood out to you this episode?
Well, I'm not sure. Well, thank you, Caitlin. I'm not sure I'm ready to talk about the guys yet. There's too many of them, and we haven't seen many, like, cut shots where they're hanging out in their regular clothes.
And there weren't a lot of male looks that stood out to me this episode. I did notice some of Katie's clothes, what Tayshia and Caitlin were wearing. And of course, because I texted you all about this, I noticed Greg's hiking outfit.
You had the same shoes.
Yes. So, like, this is for the one-on-one date with Katie and Greg, and they're wearing matching white sweatshirts with hoodies and flannel on top, and then, like, skinny jeans in different washes, and hiking boots on both of them. And the hiking boots that Greg is wearing I own those exact boots in, like, that exact colorway. Which is very funny to me.
Well, he shows them, right? He pulls his foot up, and he's like, here are my new boots.
Yeah, and I was like, hang on. I have those ones. But
is Big Five, is that a national brand?
Big Five?
Have you ever heard of Big Five? Might be a West Coast thing. They're like a discount sports store, and I always get my hiking boots there for $25.
Oh.
And then I wear them into the
ground. All right, so I can tell you. That these boots, they're Danners, which is it's a Portland, Oregon, like, historic hiking boot company. So it's a Pacific Northwest boot, and they are expensive. They are not.
Well, that's good. They're probably made by not slave labor in China.
Like, I think they are. I'm going to look up their website to be like, am I getting this right? I think they're made with, like, American materials made in the U.S. kind of thing. They seem like one of those companies.
That's good. That's good. See, I'm not putting my money where my mouth is when it comes to hiking boots. I admit it. I admit it. It's when I die, it's going to be one of the things I think about. Oh, see, EZR is muted now.
I am checked out. No, Discord. I don't understand how that makes any sense, what you just said.
So we were talking about clothes, and I definitely want to talk about Greg's boots, because I personally, they're great boots, but also
Danner,
just
they're called Danners?
Danner, like D-A-N-N-E-R.
All right, Danner. We're here. We're unsponsored. We can make it happen. We don't take much money. We'll just take a couple gift cards.
We don't take much money. we could take that. So yeah, the hiking outfits, I thought was cute on both of them.
Three gift cards. That's all it would take. One for each of us. And then we would promote Danner up and down. That's it.
Oh, and let's talk about the cowboy date outfits for everybody.
Did you like them coming out in their underwear? Because they didn't. It was revealing to see who sleeps in their underwear, who sleeps with pajama bottoms but no top, and who sleeps with a shirt on.
Yeah, it was interesting that when they were, you know, woken up by Tayshia and Caitlin and told that they had to leave exactly as they were, what they sleep in, I guess, is sort of a personality quirk you don't normally
fully.
Well, I'm a big PJ bottom guy, so I have no problem with the guys that were wearing PJ bottoms. But if you're that age, if you're like mid-20s and you're sleeping with a shirt on, I think there's something wrong. Sorry. You should be sleeping shirtless. I'm sorry. Is this the truth?
Why?
It's just because it's sexier, and if you have, especially if you have those guys' bodies, you should be sleeping with your shirt off.
To my mind, what they were sleeping in is like what they sleep in either at home or what they're sleeping in around these men. They're not specifically trying to sleep in a sexy outfit.
I get that, once you stop wearing a shirt, you don't start wearing a shirt again. You should, I don't know. It's just, I was like, there's a few guys wearing shirts, and I'm like, why are you wearing shirts? You're 25 and gorgeous. Why would you be wearing a shirt?
Well, maybe they get cold when they sleep. They wanted to be all, because I sleep like, my ex said I sleep wearing full clothes, because I'm like, I've got socks on, I've got pants on, I've got a shirt on, Sometimes I've got a sweater on top of that. I do run cold, so I wear like outfits at home.
Well, no, I mean the women and men have different blood pressures and all that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, and he was like shocked by it, the ex, because his preferred sleeping situation is totally nude, and it's like, you can do that if you want. Totally I'm over here nude. In a full outfit while you're just nude over there.
Yeah, you can't have it hanging out while you're sleeping. You got to have something there holding it in.
I mean, apparently some people like having it hanging out where they're sleeping. Yeah. I wouldn't know how that feels, so probably I'm not going to judge too hard on it. But the outfits for the date itself, right? So what we talked about a little bit before, but what Tayshia and Caitlin and Katie are wearing at this. I liked a lot of aspects of the host outfits, like that acid wash denim jumpsuit that Caitlin was wearing, and she had a cow print cowboy boots with it. I loved that look. Absolutely would have worn
it. I just can't get into cowboys. I don't know. It's not my thing.
Have you ever lived in like the Southwest?
Me?
Yeah.
You know, like not California. Like, I mean, no.
All right, just wondering, because that's like, it culturally makes more sense if you are from one of these areas to be wearing this stuff like at home.
Well, you lived in what, Houston or Austin or something?
I lived in Austin and I did wear cowboy boots. I still have some here, actually. My house.
Did you go line dancing and put your thumbs in your
line dancing, and I also know how to do like Texas two-step partner dance kind of things. So I learned the culture.
All right.
But I like the look on Caitlin. Tayshia's, I thought, was not as to my taste because it wasn't as over the top. What I didn't love about their two looks was a lot of the jewelry. I don't know. Did you clock any of this, EZR?
She's muted.
Not at all, though. Right, that's why I'm like, I don't even. I like the onesie. It's not a onesie. What's it called?
Like a jumpsuit?
Like a jumpsuit
is what I would say. Yeah.
Only because I like that wash.
If acid it was any wash. Other wash. Yeah.
Yes. If it was anything else, I would not have even noticed.
I love that jumpsuit. It is absolutely a thing I would wear. But
you know what? It was too like stiff on her and it didn't go into the boots. So it looked like, you know when your legs look crooked because your pants are too big? It just looked awkward. Like, they both looked awkward in it because I don't like that they're putting on a costume. I think this whole New Mexico backdrop thing is first off, they've never said it, really, unless they did during the first episode and I didn't notice. But it's just a little bit too, I guess it just, to compare it to something people know better is Hawaii, right? It's always like, Hawaii is this tropical paradise. Well, why don't we talk about the king that they, forced out and sugar and
that's my problem with the cowboy outfits.
Right, right.
This is like what I was going to say is my Aboriginal, problem with the jewelry indigenous that they were wearing.
Genocide. They were like turquoise? Yeah.
Yeah, like there's turquoise and Caitlin was wearing these earrings that were like clearly Native American inspired like beading and I was just like feels a little appropriative. I feel like you could wear cowboy boots and like a fun cowboy outfit, but you don't need to go so far. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's my problem with it. I thought EZR earlier in the podcast, you said you didn't mind the cowboy outfits, but now you're saying that you do mind the cowboy outfits.
No, I was saying that I don't think you should be as hard on Caitlin Bristow because you don't like her face. That's what I was referring to.
Yeah.
But like,
you have an anti-Caitlin Bristow face thing.
I do.
Yeah. But I like a good jumpsuit, as do you, Craig.
Yeah.
But the whole, I didn't know we were going to get into the whole like Southwest part of their outfits, which is, you know, everything. They're eating at a table and there's a lot of tapestry around them, and then the guy that they get to call the mud wrestling is definitely, you know, some homesteader style guy. Like, it's not, I don't see any respect for any culture or anything. I just see it used as a prop.
And the blankets they were wrapping all the men in after the mud wrestling. It the vibe to me was very like, yeah, like, it felt a little gross because it felt like they were like, let's just throw all of these like Southwest American, Native American things together because we're in New Mexico, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, let's finish with her green dress.
I liked it.
I liked it too.
Yeah, me too. Whoa.
It's like a fly.
This is the first time we've all agreed on something.
Insect-inspired clothing.
Insect-inspired clothing. All right.
Yes. Yeah, I thought it looked cute on her. It was like, you know, it's a nice kind of bold look to have, like a, it's like a green lamé, so it's like shiny, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it looked cute on her. I liked the dress. I liked that the eye makeup matched to it also.
It was insect-inspired also.
So 90s, though. I don't like...
The 90s are back.
Green.
They are.
I don't know.
Back.
Green's rough. I don't know. It's hard to, like... It goes back to what we said, I guess, last season about Katie. And Craig said it best, actually. You know, she's too girl next door for us to be like, whoa, okay. I feel like she doesn't really know how to dress... Look, I like that dress, but I feel like she's not completely like Hannah Brown. Hannah Brown is kind of weird looking, right? Okay, she's beautiful. She's a pageant, but she's a pageant.
She looks like a pumpkin.
Yeah, but she's a pageant.
I never thought I'd say that again.
Person.
Yeah.
So therefore, she can really, like, she knows how to do the thing that makes her look glamorous. And I feel like Kate is not doing it. And
she had a good. I like Hannah's fashion on her season. I liked almost everything she wore. Like, I'd be like, oh, that's cute.
Me
that
too.
Looks great. You know, like, she just had...
She's like a Cinderella vibe. Like, and like futuristic too. I remember this cool, like, pink...
She wore that silver thing.
Blues
that was
cool. Yeah.
And from what I remember reading, when you're the lead, they give you all of these options, but a lot of it is down to your personal taste. Like, you pick stuff out of these many options they give you. You're not like, wear the dress, you know, and they just give you one dress, you know what I mean? Like, so what you generally see is a reflection of their personal style to some extent. And I think Katie does not have a great personal style, particularly when she gets dressed up. When she wears casual stuff, she looks cute. But when she wears gowns,
I'm not ready to agree with that yet. I'm going to give her a few more weeks here. Because I don't think we've seen enough for me to say that I don't like her personal style.
Well, right. You know, like, at some point we have to come down to the fact that, like, men might just not be as interested in Katie, and that makes for a less compelling season. And that's, like, as simple as that, you know? I don't know.
I mean, we're not talking about Becca here.
I think we're in that territory.
This is nowhere near Becca territory.
Well, let's see. We're in week two, but I do feel that way right now. I don't feel
Katie has anyone an openness. Like, and there's been glimpses of them talking about something real and not just, I'm so happy to be here. Like that. She engages the men a little bit more closely. I think the guys like that. Becca just had nothing going for her.
Yeah, I think there are some guys on this show who are into her personality and that, like, you know, she's kind of goofy, kind of funny. It is, kind of that girl next door vibe. Some people are really into that. It is a very different vibe than, say, you know, the last Bachelorette, Tayshia, which was like glamorous, most beautiful woman in the world vibe, different than Girl Next Door vibe.
Well, I don't even, I think Tayshia would fall into that category too. Like, the, you know, she was kind of a second picked person, and there was not, you know, the guys didn't know that's who they were getting. They thought they were getting Claire. Like, the last time I remember men, like I said, you know, there's, I don't know when the last time was, like, chronologically, but if I were to just pick some, Caitlin Bristow, there's some bachelorette, like Emily Maynard, there's some bachelorettes that, like, they need to find a better balance between the men, like, I think we said this last week, between the men, between a contestant favorite and between a someone that's interesting to watch. I don't know. Well, and I don't think that Caitlin's, I don't think she's being that interesting to watch right now, Kate. The Bachelorette.
I don't know. I'm going to just not agree with that as well, because I'm not, I think the verdict's still out for me.
Yeah, I think there's time to figure it out more, and especially as you get deeper into the season and, you know, there'll be weirder and more dramatic stuff happening. We'll see.
Yes. She needs to lose the downward spiral that she's on right now, though. Get back to fun and carefree Katie.
Yeah, get back to fun, carefree Katie, who is, you know, self-confident, because what we're seeing right now is that doubt, I guess, put in her mind, did that thing, which makes total sense to me, where you're like, even if you don't actually like every single one of these guys in the season, and there's only, like, a handful that you would be interested in dating, you want every single one of them to want you as the lead. Right. So if you hear that any of them are like, they're not interested in her at all, they're just here for fame, like, that's gotta, it hurts your ego and your feelings, you know?
Yep. All right, y'all. I think we're at the end.
Yeah.
It's that time of the week again where Bachelor Masters is over.
I took my sleeping pill 15 minutes ago.
Ooh. Uh-oh. What crazy things are you going to get into tonight?
I'm probably going to, like, sleep, eat something.
All right, quickly, because we're way long. Have you ever had a what's it called? What's the name of the medication?
Ambien.
Have you ever had an Ambien moment?
Yes.
Where you wake up in a different house or something?
Not in a different house. I mean, the things are always much smaller than that. Back when I lived in North Carolina and I had a roommate, at one point I, like, woke up and then she was like, Caitlin, why did someone, and it had to be me, only two of us lived there and she didn't do it, you know? It's like, why did someone pour, like, a box of cookies into the sink? And I was like, I don't remember doing that, but you're right, it would have had to have been me, because we were the only people here. So I did a couple of those kinds of things where you'd be like, what? Why did I do that thing? Yeah. Like, I was dog sitting for a friend, and I had a cinnamon roll I'd bought from a bakery earlier, and I remember being like, oh, I've tucked it away in this, like, hidden compartment, like a zippered compartment of a duffel bag, so the dog can't get at it. The next day, I'm like, can't wait to eat that cinnamon roll for breakfast. And I go in and it's gone. I'm like, oh my God, did the dog eat it? Is he going to get sick? I figured out hours later, because I found the wrapper in the trash can, that I must have eaten it while I was on Ambien and, like, had no memory.
Oh my God. That's funny. Wow. It's good that you can laugh at those things. It's good that I can laugh at you.
Oh no, I find it very funny. Yeah. A friend of mine, her husband takes Ambien also, and he has a real issue of ordering stuff off of Amazon while he's on it. And apparently that's a very common one too, where you'll just be like, I'm sorry, you ordered what? Like, something just arrives at your house and you're like, what is this? I didn't order it. And be like,
it's like Christmas every day. Easier. We got to get into this.
No, thanks. You know, I hate like not being losing in control of my own. Yeah. That's like a big fear, is that I'll do something that I didn't know I was doing.
Right. Yeah, you will get some short-term memory loss out of the good sleep drugs, right?
Where story, it's like, of my life.
We're just like, I'm not sure what happened. None of mine have ever been like something truly awful happened. It's always just been like, I ate food, but I forgot I ate the food. Or like, stuff like, I'll be I definitely have purchased stuff online too, but nothing that was like super expensive or, you know, nothing that caused extreme alarm.
Wow. Okay, we gotta go. Thanks for the stories. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.